Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its team of program hosts. April is National Poetry Month, and to celebrate its 30th anniversary, today host Lotta Murdy and her guests share their poetry in upcoming poetry events during this pre-recorded episode. As we are recorded today, we unfortunately can't take your phone calls, but we do encourage you to send any follow-up questions you have from our conversation today to voices@kcbx.org. And now, let's join Lotta Murdy and our guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. Happy 30th anniversary of National Poetry Month. My guests here today are Caleb Nichols, Poet Laureate of San Luis Obispo County. Also with me today is Viviana Hall, poet and Coastal Dunes California Writers Club's acting president and vice president, and librarian and advisor of Alan Hancock's Poetry and Prose Club, Sherea Olmeda. Happy National Poetry Month to all three of you. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you for having us.
So how have each of you been celebrating National Poetry Month this April?
Well, I'll start. I'm Caleb, the Poet Laureate. Hello. And we've been, you know, having a ton of events. We had C.A. Conrad, internationally renowned poet here from Western Massachusetts, for a reading and a workshop, which were both quite lively at the Slo Museum of Art. Later this month, we are hosting a workshop at Gala Pride Center. The theme is blackout poetry, which will be really exciting. But maybe the most exciting thing that we've done so far this month is we've announced a public arts partnership with the city of San Luis Obispo for a public art initiative called Poetry Walk, which is taking it's an open call, and it's taking submissions now. And I won't go on too long about it, but basically we're going to install poems on the sidewalk in San Luis Obispo in like kind of a loop that you can walk. There will be a map. The poems will get published on the sidewalk, but also on the map. And also the poems that we select will be featured in the city buses as well, like where the ads go. So we're really excited to bring poetry into the public art space. And this has been a project we've been working on. I've been working on with the city for several months now. So really excited. People can find out about this by Googling, you know, Slo Poetry Walk, City of San Luis Obispo. And the open call is open. We're accepting 5 poems from people, a submission of 5 poems of 12 lines or less. So they have to be short poems. So also as part of this, we're doing a poetry workshop on short poems in May. But all this information is available online. So I hope people will look up Poetry Walk because yeah. We're really excited about it.
Who said poetry had to be a solitary and sedentary activity?
It's no longer that.
No.
I think about this as kind of an anthology you can walk through, which is really fun.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Such a wonderful endeavor, yeah.
How are you celebrating National Poetry Month, Viviana?
Well, we at the club, the California Writers Club, our branch, Coastal Dunes, started to celebrate National Poetry Month with Caleb. Caleb came to us and he gifted us with a poetry reading, and that was absolutely wonderful, a wonderful way to start the celebration. And most recently, last Sunday, I attended the launching of an anthology, which, similarly with your project in Santa Barbara County, includes all of the voices of people who wanted to present a poem. And that includes a wide variety of people, from poet laureates to well-established poets and to people who wrote a poem for the first time and sent the poem and they started to publish. And that's so encouraging to continue to write, you know? So as you said before, poetry is no longer a solitary activity, but a community. Opportunity to build community and to continue to experience this beautiful thing of what poetry does to us. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I think it will make our communities reflect more on what poetry even means and what it is, and how it's not maybe just to be read alone. Or read silently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about encountering the poem in different places. I think that's really exciting. Like, in other cities, you know, I've seen poetry in like transit situations like the tube in London or in the subway in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to like just like kind of have this moment with a poem in that kind of situation. And so I think it's really quite exciting. And it also flexes people's writing muscles because writing the short poem is really, really tough.
Thank you. Yes. Listeners, you just heard from San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate Caleb Nichols. And now I'd like to ask Sharia Olmeda, librarian and advisor for Allen Hancock College's Poetry and Prose Club, how you are celebrating National Poetry Month.
I've been celebrating by both organizing and attending as many poetry events as possible. At the start of this month, we invited spoken word poet Joseph Jason Santiago LaCour to perform on our campus. So that was a really incredible opportunity. He has really amazing work. It's really engaging and dynamic. It kind of got me thinking when you mentioned different places and types of poetry that you can encounter. And I was really happy to bring that to students. And we had the event in the Commons, so even students walking by who may not have necessarily planned to attend the event were exposed to poetry in that way, which I think can be really powerful when it kind of just happens upon it. So we've been had that in the works. And then we also are very much looking forward to our event coming up on the 24th, where we're going to be inviting Juan Felipe Herrera to campus on to do a poetry reading and also a zine workshop with the whole entire community. So really, really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
It is.
Yeah. And he is the United States Poet Laureate.
Yes. Yeah. He was the Poet Laureate of California first and then later became the Poet Laureate of the nation. So it's an incredible opportunity both for the college and for our entire community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was the son of field workers. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he resided in the area and always honor those voices through his work.
Absolutely.
And I think that's very important to share, particularly these days.
I agree. Yeah, he has a really interesting background. He's the son of migrant workers, and so he brings a lot of that to his poetry. It was very informative to the topics that he chooses to cover and the people that he champions. And that's something that is reflected both in his poetry and in his activism and other mediums that he uses as well. So I think, yeah, now more than ever, it's really important to uplift and give a platform to those voices.
And his message of compassion and seeing is traveling on the cosmos.
Absolutely. It's incredible. We're enveloped by poetry, if you think about it.
His poem is in this aircraft, traveling.
It's in space, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's in space.
Yeah, they put his poem, they engraved it on a plaque that was put on Lucy, which is a spacecraft that went out to like collect information about Earth and the sun. So it's literally in space, which is incredible.
That is very cool.
So incredible.
Very cool. So tell us again exactly when and where he will be on Friday, April 24th.
So thank you. On Friday, April 24th from 4 to 6 p.m., we are inviting Juan Felipe Herrera to Allen Hancock College in Santa Maria, California. The event takes place from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. We will open with a reading. We'll have a brief Q&A. And then the remainder of the time we're dedicating to a zine workshop where everyone will be invited to create a single page of the zine. And then I'm going to put all those pages together into one kind of unified community zine.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's really representative of, I think, his poetry and this moment of coming together.
Yes.
Very good. Sharia, for those of us who get lost easily, no matter the size of the campus, tell us exactly where on the Hancock campus we can find him.
Thank you. It's going to be in Boyd Hall, and I, too, get lost very easily, so there's going to be lots of arrows around campus pointing you directly to the building and location. So hopefully between the directions and the arrows, people can find their way.
And do expect a lot of people to attend.
I hope so. Yeah. I really hope so.
Wonderful. So I noticed, Sharia, when you mentioned the names of the poets that have put on or are putting on, what would you call them, readings?
Mm-hmm,
yes. This month that they have Hispanic names. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they identify as Latino or Latina and Latinx. Is there a reason for that you were focusing specifically on Hispanic, Latina?
Definitely. Poets. Definitely. So especially in Santa Maria, We are comprised of a lot of the Latinx community. It's the majority of that community. And so I think it's really, really important to give voice and lift up people that are representative of the people in the community so that they see their lived experiences validated and celebrated. So that's why I'm always trying to focus on bringing people in that people can relate to, that students see themselves in, I think is really, really important. And I just think that we've historically spent so much time giving a platform to other people that now it's a time to really celebrate the folks that do so much for our community and our country, truly.
Excellent. Did some of that thought process and intention also go behind the events that you had talked about, Caleb, for National Poetry Month?
I mean, you know, as the Poet Laureate of SLO County, I think one of my jobs is, and as an instructor at Cal Poly, like, is to be thinking about diversity and different voices, and there's certainly no lack of those kinds of voices at our events. This last March we had the YTT. We hosted a benefit for them at A Satellite of Love, and it featured those. The event was literally called Indigenous Voices. And I think in May, I think it's on May 2nd at Satellite of Love, we're hosting a benefit for Filipinx community too. So it's just something that we sort of always have on our minds, like me and SLO County Arts and people that work in the arts community here. I think for the majority of people are thinking about lifting up those voices, yeah.
And we are talking about Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, and our club is in Nipomo. We meet every first Saturday of the month at the Nipomo Library, offering events, inviting writers to share about their books and the tools that came in handy to craft their work, because this is our main mission, to teach the craft of writing. So we are right next to the river that separates us, both counties, and meets Santa Maria, the south portion of San Luis Obispo, and San Luis Obispo is very, very close to Santa Maria as well. So it's very important, I think, for our voices in both counties to converge and to be heard in both counties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just to separate Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo and so on, but include all of them. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we do with our event, literary event that we do every year to celebrate California Writers Week. We invite voices representative from the literary arts in both counties. And the Santa Maria Public Library is the perfect cultural hub to bring those voices in. Absolutely. And this year is in October 2nd, October 2. Yeah.
That's California Writers Week?
Yes. The California Writers Week is during the third week of October, but we couldn't have the library at that time. So we are celebrating on October 2nd in anticipation of the week. And during September, for the whole month of September, we will have the books of our members display in our display book at the Santa Maria Public Library. It's a beautiful display there that will include the history of the California Writers Club, which is a very large organization with branches all over the state, and also the story of our club and how it was formed just 10, 11 years ago. Yeah. So all of that shows that community involvement and in reaching out maintains the literary arts and poetry alive. Yeah?
Yes, thank you. You just heard from Viviana Hall, who is the acting president and vice president of Coastal Dunes California Writers Club, and also a poet herself. I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests for today's show are San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate Caleb Nichols, poet and Coastal Dunes California Writers Club's acting president and vice president Viviana Hall, and librarian and advisor of Alan Hancock's Poetry and Prose Club, Sharia Olmeda. And we are celebrating the 30th anniversary of National Poetry Month, first declared National Poetry Month in 1996 by the American Academy of poets. Listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we are not able to take your calls, but please email any questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will forward them to our guests. So each of you has this official title and role with poetry. Can you describe exactly what that means? What does it mean to be San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate, Caleb?
It means different things to different people, I think. Poet laureates exist in counties, cities, municipalities. There's an American National Poet Laureate. Of course, we were just talking about one. And so, you know, it's a public service position. It's about usually a poet laureate has a project or two that they want to kind of like work on. For me, being poet laureate has meant trying to revitalize the SLO County Poet Laureate program, which kind of had a few years off. It's been pretty continuous since 1999 that San Luis Obispo has had a poet laureate. For the first several years, it was a citywide poet laureate, and then it became a county poet laureate in the early 2000s, I believe. So then during COVID, of course, everything took a break, and this is part of, you know, the lag there was about COVID. So this has been a period of revitalizing the program and trying to see and think about what can this do for the county? What can this do for the community? And it's a really big job. I mean, I understand why there's a citywide poet laureate versus a countywide poet laureate. For example, like, you know, I've read in Napomo, I've done events in Paso Robles, I've done events on the coast. It's a big county. It's 250 square miles. It's the size of Connecticut. So there's just a lot of people and a lot of ground to cover. And then also, like, county lines are interesting. Like, I haven't done anything in Santa Maria because it's in Santa Barbara County. So, like, but why? You know, like, that's definitely part of our community. So it's an interesting civic position that I have been really busy. I've been working as hard as I humanly possibly can to make it into something that's going to have some momentum going into the next Poet Laureate, which will be in 2027. And the nominations for that Poet Laureate position will be opening in July. So, you know, if you're a poet out there listening to this, there's going to be a new one, and it could be you. So I think it's going to be a, you know, you can nominate someone to become the Poet Laureate, or you can self-nominate. I was nominated. I actually nominated someone else, which is funny. And maybe that person will be it this time. Who knows? But, you know, it's a really cool thing because people take titles seriously. People take institutional power seriously. Mm-hmm. It's true for every art form. If you have some kind of institutional backing, people take you seriously. If you don't, people don't as much. That's just a fact of life. And you might make the same, like, I'm a musician. That's my background as well. Like, I might record an album and release it on my own, and it gets whatever plays by people. But if a record label releases my record, it gets a lot more plays, and I'm taken a lot more seriously. Could be the exact same record, right? And so it's the same with these titles. They just give us a little bit of institutional power, which has opened lots of doors for me. It's helped me network with people and do things like the Poetry Walk with the City of SLO, you know, those kinds of projects. We're hoping to get some funding from the Academy of American Poets. Fingers crossed for this. We'll find out soon for another project that I won't talk about, of course, yet, because it's not happened. But with the Caleb Pride Center, that would be really exciting for the county, I think. And so, yeah, you know, for me, it's just it's opening doors. It's bringing poetry to as many people as possible. It's trying to raise voices that have not been always raised in our county. And, you know, just bringing poetry to life.
And, you know, poetry is even more than just the poetry we read in books. Mm-hmm. There is poetry in daily life. Poetry calls our attention to put attention, mm-hmm. to stop and see. Mm-hmm. And in that scene is the poetic moment.
Totally.
Yeah. So poetry can exist in many different homes.
I mean, it is. I think maybe you should be the poet laureate next.
No.
Because it's a really good point. I mean, it's not just about the literary act. It's not just about the arts. It's about, poetry is about, like, kind of a way of being in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly.
But I think also writing in general, the writer's life is about a way of interpreting the world, being in the world, mm-hmm. thinking about the world, interacting with the world that is thoughtful, that is mindful, all those things,
doing that synthesis. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's the lens that you see life through, for sure.
Mm. Totally.
It is as if what you write is the consequence of who you are and how much you can see. and how you put that into whatever writing you do, because there is also poetry in prose.
Yes,
there is a lot of poetic prose, and so poetry has many different ways of being interpreted, and I believe it's a latent activity for us all as common human beings.
So, Vivian, how do you bring that into your official roles as acting president and vice president of Coastal Dunes California Writers Club?
Well, I follow our mission, and the mission, as I said it before, is to continue to craft, to continue to maintain the craft or learn about the craft of writing, and also assist our members and encourage writing as a practice. Not all the members want to publish. Not all the members are looking after that. Just simply enjoy the act of writing. And just the simple act of writing is something to be encouraged, because it has been proven to be very beneficial to our bodies, our minds, and so on. And also, if you share your poetry, your writing, that establishes a point of contact with other people, and those people might feel the same way. And if you can, in your writing, create that effect, then your writing is serving a higher purpose,
It builds community.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, actually, the three of us know each other, and that's because of poetry events and writing events.
It connects. Yeah. It connects.
It really does.
And I mean, the four of us know each other.
The four of us. Yeah.
Sorry to exclude you, John.
No.
Wow. So rude of me.
No.
No, not taken that way at all. Sharia, tell us more about your role as both librarian and advisor of Allan Hancock College's Poetry and Prose Club.
So I, as an advisor to that club, I see my role as being able to support and uplift and kind of step back and get out of the way. The students are so passionate and fired up about poetry, which is incredible. And they oftentimes will choose their own prompts. They will choose the poets that they want to read. And so I look at it as, how can I give them opportunities? How can I give them a stage? How can I help get the word out for what they're doing? Sometimes I will be a judge for the writing contests that they host, or if they are looking for a specific recommendation, I'm absolutely happy to step in. But for the most part, I just love to kind of be the wind beneath their wings and see them fly and soar, kind of explore the genre on their own. And I admire that about the club so much. They really have a lot of momentum, and they're very self-directed, which I really, really admire. As a librarian, I am always trying to bring more poetry into the library. I love doing open mics in the library sponsored by the Poetry and Prose Club. So that's something that we work on together. I started the Dr. Kate Adams Poetry Symposium, which is sponsored by the Friends of the Library. So that's something that we've done for the last 3 years since I've been at the college. So every year we've brought several different speakers in. We started with Jaquiel Harris, who's a spoken word poet from Cal Poly. Then we had Solange Aguilar read at the college. We've also had Lee Herrick read. And then this year, as I mentioned, we had Joseph Jason Santiago Lacour read. So every year I'm always trying to bring in voices and people that are representative of all kinds of different lived experiences and perspectives. And so that's something that I think is part of my responsibility as a librarian, is to include and have that representation.
Wonderful. You've given me and our listeners a lot of poets to look up.
Good. You should. You absolutely should.
And poetry to read.
Solange has a new book out.
Yes, I saw.
Just came out. So look up Solange Aguilar, because it's really, really great.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're really talented.
Their reading at Satellite was incredibly good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very performative.
Yep.
In a good way.
Yeah, they do spoken
that word has
really
maybe
well.
Maybe that word's loaded, I don't know, but I'm a fan. I'm teaching a poetry class right now, and we're talking about the different, maybe there's two camps of poets. This is according to Kevin Clark, who's was local poet laureate, is professor emeritus at Cal Poly. And in his book about writing poetry, he talks about talkers and singers. Mm. And I'm definitely a singer. you know, and so Solange, I would say.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Interesting. Talkers and singers.
Talkers and singers.
Would you consider yourself a talker or a singer, Viviana?
I think more of a singer. If you want to, for me to tell you about my poetry, I don't know if we are the good judge for our own poetry. My poetry has been interpreted as insightful and containing multitudes, even though characterized by its brevity. I don't tend to write long poems. My longest poem may be a page and a little bit.
You might be more of a talker, honestly.
Yeah, no. when it comes to the poem, no. I like brevity. I like that image that conveys emotion and hope as well, because establish a bridge of a point of contact. Yeah.
That's interesting, because I consider myself a talker because I write short poetry, poetry.
Okay, real quick, definitions. We got to do definitions. So talkers, I think, and, you know, if Kevin's listening, you can email in and correct me if I'm wrong. Too bad he can't call in and correct me, actually. But talkers are shorter, usually, focused on, less on sound devices and less on, kind of sweeping long lines, and more on a conversational voice or a poetics that is more casual and based on voice and idiom, like a personal idiom. Singers are using repetition. They're summoning. They're doing the kind of song and dance and really focused on sound images and things like this. Maybe, I don't know if this is true. Maybe Emily Dickinson is a talker and Walt Whitman is a singer.
That makes sense.
Is a way to think about it.
That makes perfect sense.
That might not be correct, but I think it is.
Yeah.
Based on your definition, I would, agree. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're not around to ask how they would define themselves. We're going to take a short break, and then I would love to hear you read your poems. I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices. But before we hear more from our guests in celebration of the 30th anniversary of National Poetry Month, we are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
And thank you very much, Lotta. Just a quick note here. Support local music education during the Infinite Music Spring Instrument Drive. Now through the end of April, you can drop off musical instruments at the KCBX Studios here in San Luis Obispo. From drums and horns to microphones and amplifiers, your donation helps the Infinite Music Foundation provide instruments and lessons to kids all over the Central Coast. We're located at 4100 Vachel Lane, and we are open during regular business hours. Please, it's very important that we note here we can accept just about any musical instrument except, and I'm going to say it again, except acoustic pianos. Have to say that one more time. We're not taking acoustic pianos at this time. But you can give all of your other instruments a second life and support local music education by dropping off your instruments here during the month of April here at KCBX, where our program will continue right after this.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
Ahead today on KCBX, it is Latino USA coming up following this program from 2 till 3. Then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4 and Marketplace from 4 to 4:30. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murty and our guests here on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Thanks, Brad. Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. Today's guests are here to celebrate National Poetry Month with me. They are San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate Caleb Nichols, Poet and Coastal Dunes California Writers Club's Vice President and Acting President, Viviana Hall, and librarian and advisor of Alan Hancock's Poetry and Prose Club, Sharia Olmeda. Listeners, we are unable to take your calls during this pre-recorded show, but please email voices@kcbx.org with any questions about poetry and local National Poetry Month events. And now I'm very excited to hear some original poems from our guests. I've never heard these poems before. I just told them to select a couple of poems to share with us. They will share one now and another closer to the end of the show, starting with Viviana.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I mentioned before the anthology for Santa Barbara, Food and Drink, celebrating that. That was last Sunday when it was presented. And it includes poems from over 100 poets. And I'm going to share mine, if I can find it. Okay, 1 second.
So Viviana, from the
land,
right poem.
From the land to your table. Take one pizca from each rincón of the county, a pinch of Santa Maria strawberries, another from the fog-kissed Pinot Noir in the Santa Rita Hills. Stir gently. Nothing of this will be possible without the families and field workers whose hands rise before the sun, whose backs bend, so ours don't have to. Fall in a handful of broccoli crowns from Guadalupe's endless green rows, a splash of bayonier from the Santa Ynez Valley, and just enough humor to keep the pot from boiling over, because every good recipe needs a laugh, even if it is only at the quiet kind share time between rows of vines at 6 o'clock in the morning. At birria, tacos, mariscos, from the food trucks on Broadway or Milpas Street, drift in their music as an added seasoning. Let diversity simmer. California has always been a stew, and Santa Barbara County knows well the recipe. Now grate in a little Syrah smoke from Ballard Canyon, a ribbon of Grenache heat from Los Olivos, and a bright squeeze of Chardonnay sunlight from the Santa Maria benchyards. Taste for gratitude. If it is missing, add more. There is no such thing as too much. And just before you're done, brighten everything with Alvarinho, that clear citrus note to remind you that light always finds its way. Mm.
Oh, yes, we're snapping here. I don't know what it sounds like on the other end.
It's a song.
I haven't heard that one before.
It's a song, yes.
Yeah, it's a recipe.
Yeah,
and it reminds me of Rick, I think it's Rick Barrow's poem, California Pastoral.
Maybe.
You should look that one up. That's
I never read him.
Great poem, but your poem is great.
Thank you, thank you.
It was beautiful, Viviana. Tell us the title again, because I'm afraid I spoke over you a bit.
From the Land to Your Table.
From the Land to Your Table. And it is being published in an anthology,
Yes, the anthology was just launched, as Caleb does in San Luis Obispo. George Yachtchisin, which is a poet laureate in Santa Barbara, which is Santa Barbara City, because Santa Barbara never got a county. Poets, so Santa Barbara represents the county, and the poet represents the county implicitly. So he created this anthology to welcome in all of the voices and to establish this connection, from people through their work, through even through their first poem ever written and published there. Isn't this wonderful?
Truly.
Yeah. So it goes line on line with what you're doing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Viviana. You just heard from Viviana Hall.
And we have many members in our club that are from Santa Maria, Guadalupe, Lompoc, even Santa Barbara and Santa Ynez Valley. And, of course, San Luis Obispo and all lots of regions. Yeah.
It's truly a Central Coast organization. Yes, that was Viviana Hall, the acting president and vice president of Coastal Dunes California Writers Club, talking about the club membership and its regional diversity, although they're all Central Coast
Yeah.
Residents, for the most part. Caleb Nichols is the San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate, and he also has a poem to share with us today.
Yeah, I'm going to read a poem from my collection, One for Sorrow, Two for Joy, which is mostly poems that are based or sort of place-based, which is a move that I make as a writer a lot. Things are often meditating on where the I fits into the place, you know, the subject and the object. But this one, this book is largely about my time in North Wales during my PhD study, but this poem is not. It's about more of a Central Coast thing. It's called Magic Feather. Looking out through tule, mustard, and wild radish towards the ocean, I heard the familiar call of red-winged blackbirds, remembered how I used to find their feathers in the grass behind Shirley and Nick's house, how I'd stick one up my nose and flap my arms, thinking if I found the right feather, I'd fly up into the gray sky like Dumbo. It never worked, though every day we tried beneath the trilling wires, Grandma and me flapping our wings, not quite lifting off the ground. My car flew into this small bird as I sped down the road towards her house a year after she died to clip lilies before escrow closed. I forgot about that bird until later when, perched on the hood of the car, meditating on birdsong, I looked down and saw its wing. I found a plastic bag in the trunk, used it as a mitt, pulled it methodically, like removing a tick from a dog, ripped its wings off and nearly its head, shuddered, and just left it there, wingless, dead. The scent of eucalyptus leaves, of salt and sometimes sulfur, bay mud, eelgrass underfoot on the path to where her ashes are buried, a place she once stood in June gloom. Remember when we ran, swung from ropes tied to the branches of a Monterey cypress, foghorn sounding off a ways, the summer I learned to swim, the summer I found a deer skull in the woods above the house that have since become more houses, 100-acre wood we called it. What's inheritance? A place I've accepted as home because she called it hers. What's resurrection, elegy, memory? She had a way of raising the dead, a knack for litigating the past, for turning over stones in her solitude, and this she passed on too. And now I conjure her any time, like it or not, now that she's lifted off the ground, she's lighter than a feather, something I can pick up and dream into a wing.
Beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
I know I've asked you this before, Caleb. It was at the last program of the Coastal Dunes Writers Club about the way you deliver your poetry off the page, the way you read it. Mm. And I noticed the very deliberate pauses.
Yeah.
And so is that because you're a singer, you would say, out of the talkers and the singers?
I think that poem is one of my more talky ones in terms of it is almost a conversation with a dead person who happens to be my grandma. So, yeah, but I think, you know, one of the things that differentiates poetry and prose simply is like the poem is enjambed in a certain way. It's got stanzas. It's this poem is in couplets. So there really are meant to be pauses. And I think, you know, it's important that we, I mean, to me, it's important the reading of the poem. I mean, a poem has certain metric stresses. Mm-hmm. Even if we're writing a poem and we're not thinking about that, a line has certain metric stresses, however intentional they are, right? Mm-hmm. And I write in free verse. I mean, I almost never write formal poems. I almost never think about form. One exception is sometimes I like to use this poet Robert Kelly's form called The Loon, which is the American haiku, which is 5-3-5. I like those. I don't know why. It's fun. But, you know, so when I'm pausing or when I'm making, like, room like that, it should be baked into the poem in that way. But then again, also, like, I'm a musician. That's my background. So I can't help but perform. And I definitely should have been a theater kid, but I wasn't. So maybe this is the time for me to be theatrical. I don't know.
So are you reading out loud as you write?
Or
singing?
Actually, I have this poem called Lichio, which is a Welsh word for liking things, like doing Lichio coffee, like do you want a coffee? And that poem I revised into a song and then back into a poem. Like I found it had its own melody. It like came to me. So yeah, I do actually. Like my practice as a poet is very much based on the sound of things. And this is something that I honed during my time doing a PhD. Like people wonder, what do you do when you're doing a PhD in poetry? Well, sometimes you sit in a room with some like candles lit and like do some witchy stuff. And that might involve like conjuring. A little conjuring, chanting. I mean, you know, spells, spelling, poems have this. I mean, wizards were poets, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, Merlin was just really good with words, I'm thinking. Yeah. So it is, you know, and you know, poetry, the tradition of poets, the bardic tradition, it is all oral. You know, poetry was only written down quite recently. If you think about it, in the span of human history, there were poets poeting well before we started writing the poems down. And because we've been speaking to each other for a lot longer than we've been writing to each other. So I don't think of myself as only like a spoken word poet or something. I mean, I think of myself chiefly as a on the page poet, but more and more it becomes important to me, this idea of sound and this idea of speaking and this idea of the incantation of the poem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And lovely. It's also advisable, I mean, for poets to read their poem out loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's always something that
I know. Love live readings. Yeah. And one of my favorite things I've been doing as Poet Laureate is this series called Poetry and All That Jazz, mm-hmm. at Jan's Place. It's a vinyl bar in San Luis Obispo. And Poetry and All That Jazz, we pair a couple of poets usually with a DJ. And the emphasis is on the interplay between the spoken word and music. And it's, we have one DJ, Mr. Rabbit, who mostly does these, and he's gotten quite good. His ear has become attuned to the poem, and he's like really good at like mixing the sounds. So, you know, I love it.
Yeah, that reminds me of the 60s and 70s, the jazz clubs and poetry, and yeah. Poetry with jazz. And mm-hmm. it's so nice to see that coming back. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I think about the differences between spoken word and poetry, I come back to what it looks like on the page. And when I think about spoken word, I often think about like a big block of text and the performance of it really influencing how it comes across. And I think of like traditional poetry as something that's more scaffolded, and so you see those kind of built-in pauses and emphasis, as opposed to something that's like a spoken word piece that is more performative and has like those rhythms and very specific beats and cadences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of how I think about those two differently.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's my hope that I think the poem, any poem can exist in multiple ways. Mm. Poems are never done. The act of publishing a poem does not end the poem.
Ever.
And then, so I think that like I've been working on this spoken word album that's coming out in the fall with my next book. And the poems on the album are from the book, but they're not the same. Mm. Sometimes I smush like three together and create a new poem. Or sometimes I borrow a line from one and like insert it into this other poem on the spoken word version because it's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I also think I think the spoken word poem can also exist on the page in a way that hopefully directs people. Mm-hmm. There's a poet, Charles Olson, mid-20th century, who has this famous essay called Projective Verse, who talks about the reason lines should be a certain length, mm-hmm. having to do with the breath. Mm. And this is one of the things I like about free verse, is that hopefully you can read it on the page in the way that the poet intended.
Yeah.
Intuitively, where it feels intuitive. But there's a lot of work on the other end of that to make the page have that ability to let any reader decode it and understand. Or there's another poet from even further back, Gerard Manley Hopkins, who used to add these little, they look like accent aigus, to where he wanted the stresses to be, so that you knew exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I'm waving my hand. You can't see. It's the radio. I mean, I love this conversation because I love thinking about the differences between on the page versus in the ear, in the mouth, in the ear.
Both.
Mm-hmm. All
it's a sensory purposes. Experience.
Yeah. Eyes, ears, mouth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's also interesting when you're saying to read the poem exactly as the poet wrote it. Sometimes there is also value in interpreting the poem and how you experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. And there's still time for your emailed questions for our poets, San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate Caleb Nichols, poet and Coastal Dunes California Writers Club's Acting President and Vice President Viviana Hall, and librarian and advisor of Alan Hancock's Poetry and Prose Club, Sharia Olmeda. Please send your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will forward them to our guests, as today's show is pre-recorded. Sharia, I would love for you to share one of your poems with our listeners.
Thank you so much. Instead of reading something of mine, I would actually like to shine a light on a piece from Juan Felipe Herrera, just to give everybody a little sample of what could be in store for them at the upcoming event. So this poem is by Juan Felipe Herrera, and it's called Roll Under the Waves. Roll under the waves. We roll under the waves, not above them. We body surf and somehow we lose the momentum. There are memories trailing us, empty orange and hot pink bottles of medicines left behind. Buried next to Seguro, there are baby backpacks and 1,000 shoes and 1,000 gone steps leading in the four directions without destinations. There are men lying face down forever and women dragging under the fences and children still running with torn faces all the way to Tucson, leathery and peeling. There are vigilantes with skull dust on their palms and the trigger and the sputum and the moon with its pocked hope and its blessing and its rotations into the spikes. There are roads forgotten with a tiny sweet roof of twigs and a black griddle threaded with songs like the one about El Contrabando from El Paso. There is nothing, a stolen land forgotten too, a stolen life branded and tied and thrown into the tin patrol box with flashes of trees and knife-shaped rivers and the face of my mother Luz and water running next to the animals still thrashing, choking, and their low burnt violin muffled screams in rings of roses across the mountains.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
That imagery.
Yes. He's incredible.
Yeah. Yes. Tell us again how our listeners can meet the poet who wrote those lines.
So that poem is from his most recent book, which is called Every Day We Get More Illegal. It came out in 2017. Unfortunately, it's still very relevant.
Such a great title.
It is. And so if folks would like to hear him read his work, he will be at Alan Hancock College on Friday, April 24th from 4 to 6 p.m. in Boyd Hall. Parking is free on campus, so the community is warmly invited to attend.
And go early because it will be packed. Every time Juan yes. Felipe Herrera is in town, and the last time I attended his presentation in Santa Maria a couple of years ago, wow, I mean, lines and lines of people. You know, you have to remember that his books are being taught in the schools.
As they should okay? be. Mm-hmm.
So, this is the poet yeah. laureate of the United States.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
And the, first and the students
and the field workers and their children in this area, which is agriculture, you know, they all come. They're yeah. all very loyal to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us again about some other events that are coming up related to poetry.
There is a great event on the day after the next day. So if you go to Juan Felipe Herrera's reading and are inspired to continue the poetry journey, there's an Arab American Heritage Festival at the Ludwig Center on April 25th. And that will feature, I think, about an hour of poetry. And mostly it will be people from the community reading poems by different poems from the Middle East. I think I'm going to read one by Fadi Judah, who's one of my favorite poets at the moment, whose book is called Ellipses, but it's just three dots. That's a really great book. But there will be lots of people reading poems, and there will be other things too. Food, games, Ludwig Center, I think it's at 2 p.m.
It's such a great thing to honor also those voices.
Yes. Yeah.
Because in addition to being National Poetry Month, April is Arab American Heritage Month.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's wonderful that event brings the two together.
Yep.
So we only have about 6 minutes left. Ooh. Is there another short poem or an excerpt of a poem, like a stanza, that you would like to share with us?
You know, I really wanted to share Rick Barrow's poem, which is actually called A Poem as Long as California, that Viviana's poem reminded me of, but it's quite long. Maybe I could read a few stanzas?
Yeah.
I think this is a great poem for Californians to be familiar with. So this is part of an excerpt from A Poem as Long as California by Rick Barrow. This is my pastoral, that used car lot where someone read Song of Myself over the loudspeaker all afternoon to customers who walked among the cars, mostly absent to what they heard, except for the one or two who looked up into the air as though they recognized the reckless phrases hovering there with the colored streamers, their faces suddenly loose with a dreamy attention. This is also my pastoral. Once a week in the apartment above, the prayer group that would chant for a sustained hour. I never saw them. I didn't know the words they sang, but I could feel my breath running heavy or light as the hour's abstract narrative unfolded, rising and falling like cicadas, sometimes changing in abrupt turns of speed, as though a new cantor had taken the lead. And this, too, is my pastoral, reading in my car in the supermarket parking lot, reading the Spicer poem, where he wants to write a poem as long as California. It was cold in the car, then it was too dark. Why had I been so forlorn when there was so much just beyond leaning into life? I'll leave it there, but it's not done. So
it's not done.
Go have a look.
The poem is never done.
Go have a look at a poem as long. Well, it is as long as California, so it's quite long. I mean, it has to be.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Caleb. Shreya, would you like to share?
Yeah, I have one more by Juan Felipe Herrera. As we mentioned, this one is called Sunriders. It's a poem that was engraved on a plaque and inserted into a capsule that went into a space rocket to investigate. Yeah, to investigate asteroids and examine the age of the Earth and the Sun. So this poem is called Sunriders. Sunriders. Go. Go, Lucy. Everyone back home cheered. Millions miles we circled. Trojans, Jupiter's eye, El Sol, 2 million years, Sunriders, made of hope, love. Earth was divided. There was hate. There was sickness, Arctic sliding. We gathered. We flourished. Kindness healed us. Lucy carried us. Tumbling through plantismal trails, love saved us. Who will we be? Compassion, science, humanity, light.
In that tag with the poem, I want to read too. Yeah, this is amazing. And I'm going to applaud. the poem I'm going to read is unpublished, and it's a part of a new series I'm working on. And the title is Unshaken. Under the shadow of an unrelenting storm, casting darkness over nations, over us, amid the closed gates in a fractured world, the human heart refuses to break. It does not relinquish hope. With every beat, inspires the rebel act of care. Its powerful voice is rising with compassion and kindness, the kind that holds a stranger's hand in the storm to shield without conditions or questions. It calls not for silence, but courage to speak, not to divide, but to braid broken threads into unity, to embrace our shared humanness. Let the tempest unfold, the howling winds blow. The heart will rise higher than thunder, brighter than lightning, steadier than a stone, and it will stand.
Thank you, Viviana. And thank you to all of today's guests, San Luis Obispo County Poet Laureate Caleb Nichols, poet and Coastal Dunes California Writers Club's Acting President and Vice President Viviana Hall, and librarian and advisor of Alan Hancock's Poetry and Prose Club, Sharia Olmeda. We came together to honor the 30th anniversary of National Poetry Month by talking about and sharing our poetry, as well as upcoming events related to poetry, including Juan Felipe Herrera visiting Alan Hancock College in Santa Maria on Friday, April 24th from 4 to 6 p.m. Next week, Thursday, April 30th, from 1 to 2 p.m., join host Chris Kington Barker as she talks to more guests making things happen on California's Central Coast. Central Coast Voices is produced with the support of KCBX Public Radio. I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.